This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Sean and Phillips here. Today's the 30th of April, 2021. Notable for a few reasons. First of which is the fact that within a day's time, it's going to be May, the fifth month of 2021. Crazy how time flies.
One third of the year done.
But also a little bit sad because time is flying by and nobody's having any fun. The second reason why it's notable is the fact that Manchester United just beat Roma 6-2. First leg of the Europa Cup semi-final. Nobody really cares, but I don't care.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of people care.
Yeah, actually, they do.
People attempted to form a Super League. My goodness, it didn't matter whether there was
COVID. Holy moly, there was so much
uproar. There was so much attention on this story, right?
And good point, because they wouldn't have played that game if it was in the Super League.
Correct. Okay. Right. Third reason is International Jazz Day, which is notable for those people who like things like Herbie Hancock, Charlie Parker, Fats Waller, and all that kind of thing.
John Coltrane,
right? Smoking yes. Joe.
Did you know that a lot of great jazz musicians were inspired by Indian classical music?
I'm not kidding. Right? Yeah, I agree with you. The yogi, not the yogi, was it?
Yogi.
No, what's that fella that was upside down because of during the time of the Beatles? That fella.
Ravi
Shankar.
Ravi Shankar. We're also 3 days away from well-pressed Freedom Day, a concept that many Malaysians, especially in government, don't really understand because of all the things that it's done in the past. Yeah.
Well, it is supposed to be one of the best defense, or at least an institution of democracy that we shouldn't take for granted.
We are known as the fourth estate, okay, and we are the check and balance. But the latest example of the lack of press freedom in this country was the fact that on Wednesday night, the eve of a public holiday, the government chose to announce one of the most tectonic and negative developments in the education sector, which is the abolition of UPSR exams. So many repercussions from that, but I don't think this is the time for it to discuss now.
Do you find that a lot of the massive and significant press releases are always done before public holidays and all?
Yeah, because I've been a journalist for a long time, and typically when the government wants to issue difficult or controversial issues, they do it in a bit of a covert fashion. Mm. They don't invite everybody. They do it late on the eve of a public holiday, and then they sneak it out. You know what I mean? Mm. And then they hope that the next day it's going to be like lost in the fervor of the public holiday.
And there are also certain events where only what they say government media is allowed.
Yeah, and that amounts to selective disclosure, something which is actually illegal, especially for PLCs. And even PLCs here, for the GLC PLCs, they tend to do a lot of that, which is actually wrong now,
Yeah, I mean, it should be open to anyone, right?
Correct. Because everybody should have the same access to information as the next guy.
Mm. So definitely tune in on Monday from 6 a.m. onwards. I think all the different shows, we were covering different aspects of World Press Freedom Day. Mm. But also today, enjoy all the little bits of jazz that we will play throughout the day.
Are we playing John Coltrane?
I'm not sure what we're playing, but we have different jazz musicians. And I think it's also just a nice way to chillax on a Friday, especially a wet Friday.
Oh, yes. I was just thinking about that. I don't want to be in the studio shouting. I want to be in my bed reading a nice book while listening to some jazz music.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, we are here to wake you slowly up and get ready for the Friday.
Okay, so what's coming up after this with you guys?
Well, we're going to go lighter. We're going to talk about fonts. And is this the end of Calibri?
I love Calibri.
I know.
I love Calibri, yeah.
But I think Microsoft is thinking about it.
Okay, the death of Comic Sans.
The death of Comic Sans,
please. I'm requesting the death of Comic Sans. But
oh, Comic Sans.
Sorry.
My goodness. How like Sans? Like how Sans? Like Comic Sans?
Sorry, I'm not so... I'm not so artist as you. You're right. Sorry.
Peasant.
And then we'll be talking about all the different important international headlines after that.
There's a tiff between Mark and Tim. We'll talk about that after this. BFM 89.9. That was Stevie Winwood with Back in the Life Again, a song that reflects the vintage of the current MR lineup this morning for you from the 90s. Okay, this story from The Guardian.
Don't lie, Chuang. If you had your way, you'd play even older music.
No lah. Okay, that's 60s classic rock I would play, and 40s classic jazz I would play. Yeah. Because International Jazz Day, lah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Pretending to be very cool and stylish.
But no, he's not stylish. No. He doesn't play classical Beethoven or Mozart. Right?
Actually, Bach is pretty interesting.
You like Bach?
I love Bach, yeah. Chupin. I also like Chupin.
Oh my God.
You're just making fun of my Comic Sans, right? Moving swiftly on.
To The Guardian, talking about the little tiff between Mark Zuckerberg, owner and controlling owner of Facebook, and Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who's done an amazing job. What Tim Cook has done at Apple has introduced an app tracking software, right, which allows users of Apple products within the ecosystem to turn off the tracking software, which has profited companies like Facebook to no end, right? And I think what this move does is two amazing things, right? The first of all, there's no repercussions from this, okay? Because in terms of the zeitgeist, you cannot fault Tim Cook for cutting down on data invasion, privacy invasions, right? So it's like a political masterstroke, right?
He who controls information controls the world.
Correct. So by disallowing that thing to happen, you are able to say the right narrative to the public, to the world, okay?
Yes.
The second thing, which is even more masterful, is the fact that he's actually killing off one of his biggest competitors, right? So it's very, very smart, very, very savvy, and makes me think about what Jack Kuzi said about Apple last week, about how Apple is this amazing juggernaut that just the best ever, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting is that when we talk about rivalries, it's always usually between two similar companies that do the same thing.
Yeah.
But this is actually competing one upstream versus downstream. One that's kind of focused on devices, the other one more in terms of the software and the systems and apps.
Yeah.
And so for me, this is a rivalry I've really never seen. Usually it's always between two, like Boeing versus Airbus, GM versus Ford. You know the classic, they're kind of fighting for market
share. LV versus Chanel, because I'm that kind of shallow kind of girl.
Got it. LV, yeah.
So it's very interesting that this fight is there, and it's been there for a long time. I mean, AT&T.
Has it really?
Yes.
No,
Apple and it's been brewing. It's not like it's not like a war that started yesterday. This has like been festering.
Have you guys looked at Mark Zuckerberg up close? I don't think he's human, you know. He looks like a lizard. Ayo. I'm serious.
All I know is that why does he wear those grey t-shirts?
He's an alien lizard.
Okay, whatever it is, he's a genius. There's no denying it, okay? He's a genius to come up with the concept of Facebook. He's a genius to have driven it this far. But we do know that he's a bit of a control freak.
Control you a bit?
A bit.
I know one or two people like that, actually.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Back to the story.
Yeah, back to the story.
There are some similarities between both of them because it is also known that Tim Cook is also quite detail-oriented as well.
Control freak
is a nice...
I mean, honestly, if you're going to run a gazillion-dollar business, this is gazillion dollars, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Getting into the crazy numbers. What was Apple's revenue? Ridiculous.
115, first time ever.
Yeah.
First time ever, huh?
Yeah, 115 billion, by the way, even
quarterly.
How big is Apple's market cap versus Malaysia's economy?
Well, 2.3 trillion US dollars.
Yeah.
And Malaysia's GDP is about a trillion ringgits, right?
And a half times larger than Malaysia's economy.
If you're not a control freak.
No, 10 times, right? Because it's 300 billion US, right? So it's like nearly 10, eight times, right?
Eight times.
They've got more cash than Malaysia has in its international reserves.
Gross cash, 204 billion. The highest in five quarters.
Net cash
is
about 109.
83 billion. Malaysians reserves only 104.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, go figure. This was is from you. Yes, you was your message. Because you're so hardworking, you sent this to us.
Yeah. On a Wednesday night.
I did. I was blown away.
But that's the point, that you do need certain kind of personalities to drive this, right? So you've got that perfect combination of for Apple, the hardware, and now with the subscription services driving revenue. And then on Facebook, they are looking at growing advertising revenue and defending that. And both of them are coming closer and closer towards each other. And that's, I think, where the fight really resides.
That's true. You see that overlap happening as they try and encroach into each other's territories. They get into this fight. And as you said, Xiaoning, this is a long brewing scandal.
Scandal, or is it like...
Well, tension, that's the right word, I think. Because when interviewed, Tim Cook said he would have never let the Cambridge Analytica scandal happen in Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg in his internal memos had said, we have to inflict some pain on Apple as well.
That's a direct salvo, you know. And you know, if you ever have read Sun Tzu's Art of War, right? What is one of the tenets in there? What is one of the tenets, right?
Pray tell.
Well, kill your competitor before it becomes big enough. And right now, Facebook is not even a trillion US dollars. I mean, it's big, but it's not as big as Apple.
I don't think
right?
you're going to be able to kill off Facebook, or definitely Facebook can't kill off Apple. It's just going to be one of those like long fights that will just go down in history.
You never know.
They become so large. It's almost like, you know, it's like when you social media is equated somewhat to Facebook. Of course, there's so many new versions. You've got TikTok, Twitter, Instagram.
You know when Jack Welch was in his pump, right? Mm. Nobody ever thought GE was fallible.
Would you say that these two companies one day might just fade away?
Maybe.
That's true.
I suspect Facebook is more vulnerable at that.
I think so.
Apple, I feel, has a bit more of a catchment area and a hold to it. So, but yeah, I think there's a likelihood that Facebook, because social media technology
but
is also
But you know, guys, at the end of the day, if
fast.
You ask me, and this is what Guardian alludes to, both companies are coming under the scrutiny of the regulators.
Yeah? Correct.
So the idea is, I make my competitor, or whatever, my arch rival, look worse than me. I throw them under the bus, I divert attention, then I look better. So maybe this is what's happening.
It's all a game of relative then.
Yeah, it's always. And then that's what makes the corporate world so exciting when you see these two giants go against each other. It's like King Kong versus, what's that movie?
Godzilla. Okay, 6:15. Now, Charles Bradley with Ain't It A Sin, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Charles Bradley with Ain't It A Sin. This is Chong with Sean and Philip C. Now, this interesting little item from fastcompany.com, because that's how we roll, right? I'm talking about how... we roll it fast, right? So Microsoft, the purveyor of all things Office software, which has been ruling the roost since time immemorial, has decided to do something really tectonic within their Microsoft Word software. They have now chosen to offer users a replacement to Calibri, which is the default font since 2007. First of all, I didn't know that because I thought the default font was Times New Roman, which is really
Arial
boring.
Initially.
Or Arial, right?
Yeah.
But Calibri, I use Calibri. I love Calibri.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like...
A bit,
what's the difference?
A bit geeky, right?
Yeah, this is like where you all get into the nerd geek territory, right?
Well, okay, we did this two stories because it's paying homage to
Apple.
Comic Sans. Oh, we are two plebs in front of a patrician.
Sorry, like butchering the language completely. Learn.
But Felix again, it's paying, it's paying homage.
Says the man who doesn't match his clothes. But never mind.
Yeah. Can you imagine what he's wearing now?
Yeah.
Floral printed scarf all over him.
We should like post pictures, definitely.
Paisley,
sure. Yeah,
Paisley. Okay.
Well, anyway, both articles, the first one was on Tim Cook and Zuckerberg. This, of course, is on fonts, paying homage to Steve Jobs, who actually, you know, was in university and decided to enter into design of fonts, and that's where he got into the creation of Apple. Right.
So Calibri was actually designed by Apple, which is now used by Bill Gates at Microsoft. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think Calibri was separately designed. Microsoft had commissioned a whole bunch of designers. There's a specific lab that actually creates all these fonts.
He spent a lot of time because he was very particular about how everything needed to look on an Apple product. Or, that's, you know, right. He was obsessed, right? When you look at the phone, there's so much thought in terms of the design. So the font won't be far away in terms of the focus.
I think font is really important. I think font
makes a product.
It
almost
delivers the tone on which that content is based, right? So for example, Times New Roman is very formal, almost ossified, a bit antiquated, and it delivers that feeling, right?
Yes.
Like for example, Ubuntu is a little bit playful, it's a little bit like whimsical, right? Mm. And Calibri is like a little bit of a mix between the two.
Correct. So now the question is, who is going to replace Calibri, such a big shoulder to bear? And there are five candidates. The first is Tenor Wright. The second one is Bierstadt. The third is Skeena. The fourth is Seaford. And the fifth is Grandview. And you can see the different looks of these five fonts on this article. And if you looked at it, it's like, what is the difference between the five? There are actually very subtle differences between the five. And it's very worth checking it out because it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I like the first one. What is the first one called? Seaford? No, Tenor Wright.
Tenor Wright
is a little bit of a mix between Arial and my little brother's handwriting.
Which is what? Horrible, is it?
Simplistic.
Oh, simplistic.
And these are all sans serif. So, serif is actually a word to describe the ends of your alphabet, right? Mm. And the little, what is that? The little how would you describe it? A little tick at the end? That would mean that you have a serif. No serif means no tick. It's just like rounded off.
You're so clever, Chuang. I never knew this.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah.
So there are very subtle shifts, right? Yeah. For example, like some of them, they use asymmetry to distinguish between the two X's, or between the O and the Q, the circular might be the same or different, or between the P and the R, the loop might be the same or different. So each of these fonts are so meticulously designed to make sure it's easy for us to read and understand.
Yeah, I think the key thing to any font is the readability of it, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And I think we all, it's just like any pattern. Correct. Some of us have some natural preferences we gravitate to. I think I'm an Arial user just by the virtue of that. I find it easiest to
read. Formal, right?
No, it's also easiest to read, whether it's, you know, size 10 all the way to 14, 16. The Q's and the P's don't, you know, aren't confusing. The numbers are very clear. But I think there are, you know, when you're free and you go into any Microsoft doc and you play with the font, you realize, my goodness, there's like a lot.
Yeah, there's tons.
Good luck reading Wingdings.
Wingdings is very playful.
It's super playful.
Yeah. So there's apparently 700 over new fonts in Microsoft Word.
Yeah. Wow.
But on, 700, right? But on Google Docs, there's only like, I think, 15, 14. Yeah, but you can download some more.
There are companies which, you know, when they design a product, they come up with a brand new font just for themselves. I mean, they pay right? Because it then becomes the product.
Yeah, so Monocle, right? Monocle uses a very, very esoteric font for their... You know, Monocles are like this design paragon, right? And their fonts are very, very distinctive. You go and read Monocle one of these days.
So in the end, what we want to do is fonts that either reflect your brand, but in this case here, it should be simple.
Yeah.
And I always remember, like, even as you said, be extending beyond fonts, colors, even people create their own colors. But the irony and joke is that many people now print, if they do black and white, it doesn't matter. So it's just very important to make sure you have it simple, easy to read and understand.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's what really matters, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as usual, we're very curious here on BFM. You know, let us know what is your favorite font, and which font do you hate the most? Is it comic?
Sans?
Yeah. Or it could be something Wingdix. Is that what?
Wingdings. Wingdings. And it's Wingdings 1, 2, 3 as well.
Our producer is like
Philistine 1.
Yeah, she's giving us this dirty look, like I can't pronounce anything. But as usual, you can WhatsApp it in at 018-789-8899. Or you can also let us know on Twitter. Our handle is at BFM Radio.
Yeah, so you can talk to the two savages and the patrician here. BFM 89.9. Pretty funky number by Herbie Hancock called I Thought It Was You. World Jazz Day today. I'm Chuang Joy Mashawning and Philip C. Now, international headlines. West Bengal, Indian state elections in that Indian state are going through despite soaring COVID cases around the country. I think at last count, well over 300,000 daily new cases. And
200,000 deaths, I think that was the last number, deaths, right?
Yeah.
It's quite shocking, actually.
It's quite shocking. But state elections are going on. Democracy continues untrammeled in the world's biggest such sovereign state. What do you guys think?
Yeah, there are long queues in the voting booth. Their voting is pretty elaborate. 8 stages of voting, I think, just completed. Can you imagine that, Xiaoning?
I'm like rolling my eyes.
Yeah, I'm flummoxed. Why would they go ahead with this?
And a high turnout.
I know democracy is super duper important. We should never understate its importance. But health is probably more important. Not dying is probably a priority. And unless you've got COVID-19 under some form of control and you're very confident that you can roll out elections in a very safe manner with the right SOPs, I think everything can be delayed, at least temporarily.
I think so. You can do it online. I mean, not to say
okay, in maybe in India it's a bit challenging, I would say, because not everybody has access to the internet. But it's just it just feels wrong.
So West Bengal is very strategic for the BJP, Narendra Modi's ruling government, because currently who's leading in West Bengal is this lady called Mamata Banerjee, and she is known to be a very strong contender for the prime minister in the future.
Okay.
So this is meant to be a test to see whether she is able to hold the state, or whether BJP can take over the state.
So Narendra is playing dice, he thinks he can win it, and it's very important for him.
And it's very important. You can see his whole cabinet going to West Bengal, campaigning relentlessly, even though COVID cases have been going up substantially.
While the Americans are sending India $100 million worth of COVID supplies, doing what it can to help one of its best friends, right, India?
But the stories coming out of India are horrifying. Because I was listening to the podcast by The Journal, and the reporter on the ground was saying that in public hospitals, right, it's just completely full. It's, people are actually lying on the floor, literally, because they have nowhere to go. So you have, you know, scenes of people arriving on motorbikes, tuk-tuks, taxis, desperately trying to get into a hospital and then being turned away and getting back into the tuk-tuk and hospitals. Yeah. Oxygen has completed. There's no stock at all. Mm. You have to find your own oxygen tank if you're lucky enough to get into a hospital. And the vaccination program is running at a snail's pace. So even if you try to register, you can't. The system doesn't allow. There are no vaccines available whatsoever. It is almost a dire situation. And on top of it, she highlights that weddings are still going on.
The heartbreaking part about the visuals is if you've seen the aerial pictures of the funeral pyres.
Yeah, because so there's just no space.
So basically the crematoriums are full and they're just these stacks of hay everywhere with the bodies there being burned. It's a very sad story and pictures.
And yeah. The politicians, by the way, are defending it. Okay, they're saying that, oh, this is what happens when there's, you know, viruses peak. You know, you'll have a period where the cases are, you know, at an accelerated level, and then after they normalize, which is just not the right tone. I mean,
The right tone, lah. But I mean, there's 18 million cases in India, right? America has sent their own excess supply of AstraZeneca supplies to India that will allow them to make about 20 million new doses. So, but again, I mean, that's part of the problem solved, but they've got to also deliver it to the people.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get it out to a country which is so vast, with a huge population of 1.4 billion or 1.3 billion, with actually no national health scheme, unlike Israel or UK, right? Yeah. Or even, and where it's easy to track where everybody is. I mean, how do you roll this out?
It's going to be hard. But think about it, 20 million vaccines, population 1.2 billion.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, and apparently even the Serum Institute, which is the largest vaccine maker in the world, can only make about 60 to 70 million vaccines a month. It's going to take a while for them to get enough stock to get the whole country vaccinated. The herd immunity there, or at least the target of it, is going to be a huge challenge.
Well, since we're talking about superpowers and India and China, India and America, why don't we talk about China as well? Because China has launched a key module of a new permanent space station called the Tianhe module, which allows contains living quarters for crew members. This space program, I think when you have a space program, it shows that you've arrived at the top table.
The Cold War was all about this, right? Yeah. It was the fight between Russia and the US, right? The first man into space, the first man on the moon and all that.
I think they felt left out because they were not included in the International Space Station initially, which was a coalition of different countries. Now, that station is going to basically decommission in 2024. So by then, we might have only China as the one operating the International Space Station.
Well, they have clearly arrived, the Chinese.
They have indeed. Okay, after this, The Boss brings Bruce Springsteen with Fire, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Bruce Springsteen with Fire. Now, time to look at some of the local news and as well as some social media. And Ro has piped in saying that his preferred font is the Comic Sans. But he's also quite facetiously pointing out that the boffin should also design a doctor's handwriting font for when you've not done your homework and want to be illegible.
I can provide that. My handwriting is horrendous.
Horrendous, yeah.
Horrendous. Only I can understand it.
You should be a doctor.
I don't have the brains, unfortunately, because I can't even pronounce Comic Sans.
Song.
Song.
Okay, local
still
news.
Cannot.
Still cannot. Still cannot. Still a pleb.
So apparently, KL and Selangor have the highest incidences of COVID-19 cases per population of 100,000 people, according to the health ministry, right?
Yeah, 1083 out of 332.
So this comes from the Malaysian Insight. And it makes me think, it makes me recall Najib's Facebook post from, I think, last night. One of the most astute, unfortunately and ironically.
And his maths was pretty good.
No, he didn't do it, lah. Okay, someone else did it.
But the maths was correct.
Yeah. So he points out that we are the slowest among ASEAN countries in terms of vaccine rollouts. And he also points out that for the government to have dismantled parliament for an emergency to stem COVID has since then seen the highest number of cases around the region. Right. Has anyone thought about that? And he's right in pointing that out. You know, I just want to say that, put it out there, you know.
I wonder what's happened with...
It takes a disgraced former prime minister to point that out.
The question then is, you know, the appointment with the Agong by the opposition parties, whether that will happen or transpire. That's going to be key.
Yeah, we'll be following that story as it happens. But I think there's also some dire news, which is in the second page of the New Straits Times, which is Most have reached full capacity, full COVID-19 capacity. That's the headline. And it's that there is no more room in private hospitals. So public are urged to take shortage of beds seriously. And COVID-19, I think that the pain points are always when there is then pressure on the healthcare system. And I think now you're beginning to see that pressure, not only in just the Klang Valley, but I think also in beds in Kelantan, where the cases have been rising exponentially. So, you know, it's I really say this every day, but we really do have to practice our SOPs and keep that physical distancing.
Yeah, the question here is, you know, we've talked so much about the Pasar Ramadan and the bazaars and all that.
Yeah.
And whether there's any plan to reverse these kind of markets, because they are likely going to be one of the sources of these COVID cases, and also the issue about schools as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, clusters seem to be developing more frequently than we like. And I think even the Penang state government has said they are expected to make several unpopular decisions soon, including restricting mass movement to fight COVID-19. I think every state is looking at the number of cases, and they will have to make that balance between people's health, but at the same time preserving the economic sectors. I think that's a criteria.
Talking about Penang, did you see that tree that uprooted in the middle of the storm?
I know, that Angsana tree.
And then landed on the guy.
It killed the driver.
100%. He was caught.
But they got a horticulturist to bring it back up again.
Did they? No,
apparently
really?
So, yes.
Oh my goodness, I was so scary. Yeah, it's so
shocking pictures. I saw the videos as well.
Yeah, so scary, so scary. Okay, no Edge CEO morning brief this morning, but Edge Property has their daily newsletter. They've got a very interesting interview with Tan Sri Leong Hoi Kam of Ma Sing. And the title is very good, right? Asking whether Ma Sing would actually stop building properties and, you know, go 100% into glove making. So that answer is in Edge Property. I don't want to do a spoiler, but you should go and read it. It's pretty good.
Well, I want to just bring you back to today's news. The Malaysian Reserve headline is Crypto Players to Lay Low Amid Tax Season. Now, the LHDN has started to go after players who have been making hefty profits from the cryptocurrency investment. Shawnee, you're raising your eyebrows.
How do you evade the tax man?
I've got some inside information on this. I won't go into much detail because I might out some of my friends, right? But what Singapore and Malaysia have done in terms of crypto is very, very different now. Singapore is so transparent, right? There is basically no friction between your conventional liquidity, right? Mm. Your fiat, right? What they call, and their crypto gains. And by doing that, right, the Singapore government has got full visibility as to your gains or to your losses. So clever. So clever. My friend, right, this guy, he's got a Visa card which allows him to transact in the everyday world and then deduct his crypto account.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Well, we haven't reached that level of sophistication here for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think we've linked our any product launched by a Malaysian bank.
No such thing, because we want to be very cautious about it, right?
Yeah. That's right.
In fact, we are only allowed to trade crypto on actually those
Luno. There's only two. Yeah.
Yeah. Those registered and approved by the SC.
So in the article, Dr. Varinjit Singh, which I think you interviewed,
Tricor chairman,
Tricor on tax. Mm. So there are actually a couple of channels and ways for you to track. So you should check out this article. They've marked out 3-4 ways in which you can trace and track.
Okay, but later on this morning at 7:15, we will be looking at the fintech industry. I mean, overall, everything included with the chief editor of Fintech News Malaysia, that is Vincent Fong, because they came out with a very, very substantive Fintech Malaysia Report 2021. So lots of questions to ask him. Maybe we can't get to cryptos because there's so many aspects of that. But I think it's a report definitely worth looking at.
Okay, some GLC movements worthy of note. Tan Sri Zetti has retired as PNB chairman. And the other thing is that Bausted Holdings, they've refuted that its group managing director, Dato Sri Muhammad Shahzali Ramli, Shaz, right, to his friends, is leaving the head Lembaga, LTAT. And apparently his deputy, Izzadin Daud, is going to take over. But apparently Bausted says that's not true.
I think the one to watch is whether Dato Sharil renews his contract or, you know, come August, I believe, at Khazanah. Whether he'll stay around for.
You think there'll be more musical chairs then?
It was a question I asked him during the breakfast grill, which he never answered.
He's been there how many years? Nearly 3 years already, right?
Yeah, 3 years at least, you know. Yeah. So
GLC contracts are 3 years, lah.
Yes.
Yes, but you notice there's no notice period. It's like I'm not renewing, and in 3 days you're out.
Yeah, well,
quite fast.
Well, that's how contracts work, I guess.
Okay, we'll come back out to this with St. Vincent and beyond that, the 7 a.m. news and, of course, our Market Watch with Carlos Casanova, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.